Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
But this controlled aggression, and anyone who watched you through your track career, you know, there's Adam Nelson and there's Nelly, and you'd flip this switch and you're a great showman and all this stuff, but the shot put is very technical. Like it's a very fine line to walk. How aggressive can you be? How fired up can you be? But how can you also focus on your technique? And that's something I think powerlifters, weightlifters, they struggle with. Can you talk about sort of harnessing that controlled aggression?
Yeah. So a lot of people have asked me about my pre-throw routine because I do get very excited, very fired up, and I think it all started. I don't know what age it was, but I mean, ever since I was probably watched too many Rocky movies when I was growing up. I don't know what it was, but I just always felt like if you can put yourself like into the moment and live specifically in that moment and have all your energy like focused on whatever that strength skill is. It was always strength for me because I thought, that was where I was, and whether it was in wrestling or whether it was in football or whoever I was competing against or whatever the objective was, I knew that if I could like force myself to get so focused in that one moment that I could do superhuman things. I always believed that we have superhuman powers. I know that's kind of crazy. But I read this book when I told you I was the weird kid that spent all these hours in the weight room under the bar. But I read this book in eighth grade that was called The Athlete's Guide to Mental Training. And they talked a lot about visualization. And again, as an eighth grader, you don't necessarily get the full picture of things, but you glom on to certain things. So I always had this mental image of who I was when I was competing. Like, if you looked at me, like I'm 6 feet tall, 6 feet tall, 6 feet tall.
They shrink as they get older. So.
Yeah, 6 feet tall. And anyway, but I always had this strong image of who I was. But if you looked at me relative to my competitors, I was 6 feet tall, 257 towards the end of my career, I got as heavy as 267 or 268 with a couple of days over 270, which didn't feel good. But mostly somewhere around that 260 mark, and most of my competitors were, 40 to 70 pounds bigger and 3 or 4 inches taller. So I never saw myself as smaller than they were. Like in my head, I was bigger than all of them. In 2000, the process was still a little bit raw, and I got it was refining and refining. But literally, I would walk into a circle, and I would see this superhuman version of myself, like do whatever it is that I was about to do. And eventually I got so good at it that it wasn't this superhuman version of myself. It was me stepping in, and I could feel how this person was, how this person moved, what he thought. And like when I get into that character, when I get into that mode, and it really is an extension of who I am, but when I get into that mode, like there is nothing I can't do. And I there's no doubts. There's just pure like, what is the task at hand? And I'm going to crush it. There's nothing else in that hand, in that moment, and that interferes with that. And over time, I started developing processes. I've worked with sports psychologists, sports hypnotherapists, and a bunch of other people to help refine this process. And in 2001, it kind of happened where like I fell into the right sort of like rhythm with it. Like, this is how I'm going to set it up now. We were at a meet in Portland, Oregon, and it was the shot put sector was outside of the track. And so we didn't have a lot of room to move around, and the people were surrounding the shot put sector. And so I went out into the sector, and I was like, I'm going to put on a show, one, because it helps me. If people aren't entertained by what we do, we are failing as performers. And I know a lot of people say, well, you're not a performer, you're an athlete. That's bullshit. You're both. And if you don't know who you are when you perform, like what you want the crowd to experience, like I want them to experience the greatness of throwing, the greatness of whatever it is that I'm doing. And while diehard fans can look at that and see a performance and be like, oh, that's awesome, we don't thrive or survive off the diehard fans. You thrive off being like transcending whatever the boundaries are that are set for you ahead of time. So that was my goal. It's like, how can I get that 4-year-old kid to be excited about this? Well, shoot, I was a huge fan of WWE when I was little, right? Like Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man Randy Savage and all those guys, come on, and it was all a show, right? Yeah. So this part of it was showmanship. like no joke. But the other part was I also knew that as I got super fired up and super excited, I had to take a little bit of steam off, like because I was at too high. I needed to come down to like, you know, maybe 90% instead of like this 100%. So I'd get out there and I'd do my thing and get the clap going. And the trigger for me to get into that exactly. The trigger for me, the thing that I anchored it to, anchored like this transition from me to this superhuman version of myself, was when I'd pull my shirt off. So when the shirt would come off, boom, that was my trigger. And it and once you practice the act of anchoring like a trigger, like really like get that down, you come into this person, and that person does whatever it's been programmed to do. And so I was on autopilot now.